Joe Ostrowski with you, 210 Sports Radio 670. The score, some cool stuff lined up for Score Rewind in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll dive into Bears-Panthers coming up in just a few minutes. And we'll get back to Tony La Russa, this whole thing. Listen, I mean, you can get upset all you want. It kind of feels like, well, you're a White Sox fan. You know what you signed up for. Your owner's Jerry Reinsdorf. Probably his last bite at the apple is probably how he's looking at it right now with this White Sox crew. He's going to hire the manager he wants, and it doesn't really matter what Rick Hahn has to say about it. That's how it feels right now as far as I'm concerned. So once you decide to be a White Sox fan, you know what you're getting into. That's part of it. But we've got a developing story. There's a few things I'm going to address here in a quick moment. But this is unsettling. I learned during the commercial break, for those that don't know, so I'm doing the show from my basement. And during the commercial breaks, I'm usually talking to the producer, whether it's Rick Camp or Sean Anderson, or it's like tonight, it's Jordan Malley. And I don't know how we got there, but Jordan informed me that he hates breakfast. I'm not the person that sits down and makes the big spread, but I don't understand the whole concept of hating breakfast. When I have time to do it right or go out for a nice breakfast, there's nothing better. Like, brunch is awesome. Some of the best meals of the day. Explain. How do you hate breakfast, and what does that mean, Jordan?
Breakfast is so overrated. Brunch is so overrated, too, and I blame my generation for that fact of, oh, let's hit brunch on a Sunday with everybody else. Like, I don't mind going out for a nice breakfast. Like, give me chocolate chip pancakes, give me a nice Belgian waffle, give me some eggs. Like, that I'm good with, but more times than not, Joe, I don't eat breakfast. I don't like eating for, like, the first 4 to 6 hours I'm awake. It's just, it's kind of a growing habit. Maybe it's since college. But yeah, breakfast, just not enticing.
But it doesn't mean breakfast is bad. Like, French toast is awesome. Good donuts once in a while, great. Like you said, chocolate chip pancakes or a good omelet when you're hungover. Are you kidding me? I'm talking like I'm in my college days. Like, that's few and far between. But I mean, come on. Breakfast is not overrated, man. Come on. That's insane. That is an all-time – what is the official take? Let's get this on record. What is the breakfast take? I understand that you don't like eating right when you get up, and I think there's some people that actually would agree with you. Sometimes I feel that way, but I've got to have something because, like, my show Bet Sweats is on 9 to 11. If I don't eat anything, now it's going to be like, you know, I've got some work to do usually right after the show. It's going to be noon before I eat my first anything of the day. So I've got to get something in my body. So that's, I get what you're saying. I don't always want to eat, but there are so many great breakfasts. You don't like bacon?
I love all of that, but now you're talking like effort too. You're talking about not only having to think about what you want to have for breakfast, but then having to put the effort in to cook all of that. All the things that are actually going to be good for you. Not, I'm not talking like Pop-Tarts or something that's just filled with sugar and it's going to make you hungry in 30 minutes.
I couldn't tell you the last time I had cereal. Like, that's not what I'm talking about.
Ooh, cereal's good, though. Like, I'll eat dry cereal by itself and not during breakfast time, like, as a snack or something. Mini Wheats, Frosted Mini Wheats are a go-to just to munch on.
You ever had a good frittata?
I don't think so. What is a frittata?
Oh, man. You're missing out. I mean, come on. What the hell's happening? what is all this? Like, breakfast is bad. That's my take. What are you doing?
Breakfast is bad.
Colin Coward?
Yeah, well,
it's
breakfast
not
is
bad.
Bad. I mean, it okay. Is... Have you? Are you a coffee drinker?
Okay, I'm just getting into coffee. It was a while. So the only times I drink coffee in my life is when I had to wake up really early in the morning. So college, I slept very little. You know, you stay up late working on papers, stuff like that. I have a lot of coffee. When I did updates on the morning show on The Score, drank coffee then, got away from it. But now I'm back with the coffee because sometimes I have two shows a day like I am right now. I'm off the air at 10, then I'm back on the air at 9, got to get up a few hours before that to get ready for the show. So now I'm back on the coffee. In fact, the other day, we've always had a Keurig because my wife doesn't have coffee. I do in certain times, so now I'm having it every day. I just bought a coffee maker, a real one, not just the Keurig that we already have, a real coffee maker the other day. And here's something that actually ties into this conversation. You talk about effort. You're right. Like, we don't have a lot of time in the morning. I get that, and I agree with you. But I was really mad at Costco for the last few months because my favorite breakfast item, which takes no effort, it's 1 minute in the microwave, it's these egg bites, which are delicious. They stopped carrying them for a couple months. Then I went there the other day, the good kind, they were back. So I was so excited. And so every day this week, I've had these egg bites, which are really, really good. You know, for a minute in the microwave in the morning, I think they're fantastic.
They're like little circles, right? I think Starbucks sells something similar.
Yes, correct. So now I'm really back in on breakfast. I actually am genuinely excited about it. I'd love to hear from people. What is your favorite breakfast food item? 312-644-6767. That's how you can text us. Okay. We got people jumping in here. Breakfast is the best meal of the day, Jordan.
Absolutely false.
815. I can't eat right when I get up, but 2 hours later, I want a breakfast buffet.
Hell no.
Well, I know how we got here because I asked Jordan when he has dinner. Because when you're working, his shift is 6 p.m. to midnight in our downtown Score studios. When do you have dinner? For you to have dinner, if you're going to have it before the show, like some people think, just have it at 5:30. Well, it's not that simple. You're traveling down to work, you're doing prep stuff, like I'm asking to pull certain audio that we're going to use during the show. You're legit working between 4 and 6. So if you've got to have it all planned out, bring it, and then eat it at like 5 o'clock if you're going to have dinner before the show. So you end up having dinner like at 1 a.m. when you're working at the Score at night, right?
That has been my life for probably 6 or 8 months now consecutively. I would say more 2020 than anything else. Getting off of these shifts. And also too, like on a good day, it's probably a 35 to 40 minute drive home at night at about 1 o'clock or so. So then you're talking like 1:30, 2 o'clock after I stop messing around doing whatever I'm doing. But if I go home and I'm hungry, it's like 1:30 in the morning. So it's just like bizarre. When you're a radio producer or a host at different times, you don't have 3 set meals. You don't have a set structured way of eating anymore. It's just like grab whatever you can when you're hungry. And that's about it. But I asked you about the coffee thing because I think that's limited the amount of things I can have in the morning that don't completely throw off my taste buds. Coffee is something, if I consume a cup or two before I eat anything, it's game over. I'm not eating anything till lunch or even after that. So the caffeine, okay, I think, makes me not as hungry.
I think that's not a terrible take. And I'm not saying that I love coffee. I just drink it more. Like, I've gotten used to the taste. But now I kind of enjoy it, and it's not bad, and now I'm drinking it every single day. All right, here's some people checking in with their favorite breakfast food item. Let's see if you're backing on breakfast at all. Meat lover's skillet or biscuits and gravy. Frosted flakes with sliced banana on top. Brunch is the best. Finish it off with a nice cocktail. Ham and cheese omelet with French toast. Ooh, I'm in on that one. Here's a funny thing, Jordan. I hated eggs when I was a kid. Never ate them. Really, when I was a young adult, I really didn't like eggs. Now, love them. Love them.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
The funny thing about eggs is my brother-in-law, he ate them so often in college that he actually, like, his body now rejects them. So if he'll eat eggs or anything with eggs in it, he'll get nauseous, he'll get sick. It's almost like he became allergic to it. Yes. Like, and, like, even, like, baked goods that has eggs in it, if there's eggs in it, 30 minutes later, it's game over. He's sick for the rest of the day. So, but he used to eat like 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm talking like my brother-in-law used to play football and he's a big dude. So he'd eat like 6, 8 eggs a day. And that was straight in college. And I think he's just, he grew allergic to it, which is, it blows my mind for somebody who loved it so much. He said he can't even taste it anymore. It's terrible.
I'm sure there are some people listening to the show, work the third shift, work late at night, have crazy hours. And it is almost impossible to be healthy, right? Because then you get home and you want like junk food. When you do finally have dinner, when you get home from work at like 1 a.m., are you really going to make the healthiest option? Or just going to make whatever's the easiest or whatever you're craving at that second?
the first step is getting past, driving past all the fast food that's open late at night. If correct. I can get that to that point, I'm 60% there. Once I get in the door, and if there's nothing good in the fridge or anything like that, it'll be leftovers. Or honestly, Joe, I'll give you a little tip here, is the Pizzazz by Pesto. It's a pizza maker that spins. It's a like side appliance that you have. It's the best $40 you'll ever invest. It cooks a frozen pizza to perfection in 18 minutes, and it's the easiest cleanup in the world. It saved my life in college. It's awesome.
Here's a great text, and I bet you the answer is no, but I'm going to ask you anyways. Have you ever had chilaquiles?
Yes, I actually have. I used to work at a breakfast place, Egg Harbor Cafe, in college.
What? Okay. You worked at a breakfast place and you hate breakfast. Now it's easy to figure out why you hate breakfast. You hated that job.
Well, not the job was pretty good, but I hated waking up at 3 a.m. as a college kid who was home in the summer. Dude. And you're waking up at 3 a.m. to set tables for 4 and serving people at 5. It was crazy, but yeah, I like breakfast foods, and there are plenty of good ones out there, but eating at a time between, like, if I just wake up at 8 to even noon is still pushing it for me.
All right, as long as you're on the mic, help me out here, because I was talking about this earlier, that, you know, with this Nick Saban testing positive for coronavirus, he's not going to be coaching this weekend, Alabama-Georgia week. The point spread is moving like wild for a head coach that is going to be heavily involved with their preparation anyways. Florida-LSU postponed, Missouri-Vanderbilt postponed, all these SEC games. And I was in South Bend over the weekend. I got to see all the people walking into the game without their masks on, and it wasn't that much. If you watched Florida, Texas A&M, it did. Dan Mullen may have been right. It looked like they had 50,000 people in that game, all on top of each other. So at Florida, they have 21 positives of all the players, scholarship and walk-ons, 21. So that's why the Florida LSU game was postponed. But I was talking about some of the drinking games that I was witnessing, not on campus, but around the campus of Notre Dame. I think a pretty tame school. Like any college, they have their share of parties. And I witnessed numerous drinking games, sharing cups, all that stuff. But I was a little confused. Like, I know about beer pong. I know about flip cup or flippy cup, whatever you call it. But I was explaining to Jordan, or trying to explain, what I was witnessing. And I had no idea what the game was. I knew they were taking the ball that you would use in beer pong or whatever and bouncing it on the table. And then you have a stack of cups, and the stack would get higher and higher. But as soon as the ball would go in the cup, like, other cups were moved around and, you know, over here, over there. And then people were drinking and then bouncing again. Like, what game was I witnessing, Jordan?
So in college, we called it, I know there's a different game called Circle of Death, but that's basically the premise we gave it. And what you're doing is trying, so you've got like 8 people around you, and you've got people to your left and your right, and there's a starting position where you have 2 cups and you have a ping pong ball. You're trying to bounce the ping pong ball once off the table and into your cup. If you do that, you pass a cup to your right. If you don't, you have to do it. You have to keep doing it until you can bounce the ball into the cup. The problem is on the opposite side of the table, there's another ping pong ball going around and the cups are moving. If that ping pong ball catches you throughout the circle, whoever it catches and it passes, you end up being the person that has to drink the beers that are in the middle. The beers in the middle are all poured after every person makes one of their shots. So you're sitting there trying to bounce the ball into the cup, bounce the ball into the cup. You make it, you pour a little bit of your beer into one of the cups in the middle. I mean, if this goes around, if you've got 8 people and it goes around the circle 2 or 3 times, you've got 3, 4, 5 red solo cups worth of beer in the middle. And
okay.
It's
I was wondering, because I kept seeing there was one cup in the center that was filled all the way, but the other cups, which had beer, didn't have that much beer in them.
Correct. So that one, that middle cup, too, usually is for the person that loses as well. Sometimes people filled it with vodka or like a mixed drink, and yeah, that's when things get a little ridiculous. But okay, that is a fun game.
So the name of the game was what again?
In college at Indiana, we called it Circle of Death, but I know that's also a cards game, too.
Wow. That's what you described is exactly what was going on. And I never played that drinking game, so I was so confused. But I do know they were all drinking out of each other's cups. That's one thing that I definitely know.
The one we played in college a lot was, yeah, same beer pong table, but you sit. So you have a partner on the opposite corner of the table and 4 people playing. and you sit in a chair, and you've got a cup on each corner of the table. You have dice. And so you're taking the dice and sitting in the chair, and you're throwing it the dice above your head. It's got to bounce once on the table, and if it bounces off, you get a point. If you get it in the cup, you get 3 points. This game is awesome. It's 2-11, and basically you're going back and forth. And the biggest kicker of it all, Joe, is that you can only catch the die with one hand. You can't trap it on your body, and you don't have to stay seated, but it can get crazy after a few games where you've got a dice bouncing in the middle of the table and then off. People are diving left and right for the dice. It gets crazy, but it's if people out there have played Beer Die before, it's one of the best games out there. It's a reinvention of beer pong, and you can play it for hours.
Okay, now I'm getting more and more confused because I'm looking at the text line and some people are saying, yup, it's called Slap Cup, the game we're talking about.
Correct.
Another texter said it's Stack Cup. And somebody said it's not Circle of Death. That's a different game.
Yes. Circle of Death is the card game, too, where you've got a deck of cards. Each card has a different meaning and most of it rhymes. You can look it up, Circle of Death. But yes, we used to call it Slap Cup, Stack Cup. It depends on where you went to college, too. There's different names, different meanings for every one of these games. So you could be playing the same game, but there's a dozen different names for it.
Oh, okay, good. Now, I think I understand. It sounds like this game doesn't have as much drinking as some of the other games.
If you're talking about Beer Die, yes, it doesn't have as much. Yeah. Unless you start sinking cups, which does happen with good Beer Die players.
Somebody could lose, yeah.
In one game, you could be drinking 3 or 4 full beers.
Gotcha. That's Jordan Malley, my producer tonight. My name is Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm glad we were able to clear that up. I mean, my goodness.
Breakfast Jordan is Malley, still hates, trash. Hates,
yeah, what are you talking about? And I'm giving you these options. I'm trying to think. Favorite breakfast food? If it's done right, what is it? For me, I've always been a fan of French toast, and I'm getting bacon and sausage. Like, I'd probably go down that road. Like, you don't like French toast?
Oh, no. French toast is so good. It really is.
It's amazing. And I'm not somebody that needs the fruit or all the extra stuff either. Like, I'm cool if it's just powdered sugar and a good syrup. That is glorious.
100%. I don't need the fruit. So I don't need the I don't need the chocolate chips. I don't need any of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm good with that. But aside from that, trash. See, I know if Rick Camp was here, he would not be saying this.
Yeah, he would not be happy, I don't think, with my breakfast take.
Is he here tomorrow evening? Do you
Yes,
know?
He is. Yes,
oh,
he is.
Oh, okay. You know it's not you. Okay. I'll be on tomorrow night, 7 to 10. No Thursday night football, so a change in the schedule. It impacts me as well. Bears All Access at 6 o'clock, then I'll be here 7 to 10. And in the morning, just like every Monday, every weekday morning, I should say, 9 to 11 a.m. on my sports betting show, Bet Sweats, with NFL analyst Ross Tucker. Subscribe to the podcast. Check it out. It's a ton of fun. Let's take a deeper dive into Bears-Panthers. We'll hear a few intriguing things that Michael Lombardi had to say earlier today on Sports Radio 670 The Score about this matchup that you should be watching out for. Bears 2.5-point underdogs at Carolina. That's next. Joe Osho, 670 The Score, in the Radio.com app.
Ready?
Not ready. One of my friends during the break were with us in Indiana. Nobody knew about these drinking games that, according to you guys, and I thank you for informing me, that it's called Slap Cup or Stack Cup, this drinking game that I was witnessing over the weekend. And I forgot about this part, Jordan. All right. This has got to be a party foul, right? Like, even during a pandemic. Should you be doing these drinking games using White Claw?
Oh, oh man. I mean,
That was happening. Absolutely happening.
I mean, I guess, but you're going down, down a slippery slope.
White Claw and my wife's favorite drink, Truly, they are 5%, and it's a higher alcohol content than a light beer.
That's true, and those things sneak up on you, too. I mean, the taste after a couple, you have a couple of those, and you start having a couple more. That can sneak up quick, especially in a game atmosphere like that. After an hour of playing that, think about how many White Claws they went through.
I forgot about that they were doing it with White Claw. It is funny. They, hey, they taste good, and they have more alcohol than light beers. I'm just saying. Just saying. But it was humorous.
I'll never knock anybody for drinking White Claws. It's a great summer drink, too. So if you like them, you
like
what you like.
I don't knock anybody for... I hate it when people, like, beer shame or, like, talk about somebody's music. You like what you like. I have no issues with any of that. I'll never understand, oh, you don't like what I like, you're a worse human being. It's just, it's so silly to me. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Thank you for hanging out. You know, we're starting to get set for Bears-Panthers. I know it's been La Russa mania today on The Score, and really over the last couple of days. But, you know, Michael Lombardi, always a critic of Ryan Pace, as am I. So maybe that's a reason I'm a big fan. Always has strong opinions. One of the radio.com insiders. I think he's a fantastic listener in the NFL. You may not agree with everything he has to say, but you know what? Matt Nagy agrees with him, at least on the Mitchell Trubisky stuff. Here's Lombardi with Mullion Hall this morning talking about the strength of this Bears team and what the defense has been doing, and it gives you a nice preview for Bears-Panthers.
Look, you are what your record says, and the Bears have been able to win close games, and they're 4-1. And you can say they should have lost in Detroit. That's probably true. You can say they should have lost in Atlanta. That's probably true. You know, but the reality of it is, you know, you could say the Giants are throwing the ball in the end zone. They could have lost that one. That's probably true. But the reality of it is their defense has made plays when it needs to make plays. And they did in that game. You know, they went 3 and out. I mean, I think really, if you look at that game and forget the fourth down, put his fingers up, you know, the drive before they kick the field goal, you know, the Bucs get the ball back there. Good teams finish that. And you got to give the credit to the defense in terms of being able to get 3 and out and really take 17 seconds off the clock, create great field position. So their defense is carrying them. And you look at the numbers, their defense is playing really well, and it continues to play well. And I don't think you can minimize it. I think you have to really, you know, even though their offense, you know, they're 27th in my offensive rating, but overall as a team, their defense is really carrying them through. Their opponent scoring is fourth in the National Football League. That's really, really good. Their yards per attempt defensively is third. So defense can carry it. The problem is going to be when you go against a really good offensive team that can neutralize your front, and there's a few of them. Obviously, Green Bay's one of them. Then your offense has got to pick up the load.
Michael, when we look at a team like the Bears and how they fit in, they are now underdogs heading to Carolina, which doesn't make a ton of sense given they're coming off their best win of the year and a legitimate beating of Tampa that got everybody in town kind of fired up, because we get it. There's problems with the offense, but that defense looked pretty good, and Khalil Mack is showing up like the guy that he's paid to be. Does it make sense that they would be an underdog given the fact that their four wins have come against teams with a combined four wins of their own? I mean, it's pretty ugly.
You know, I think Carolina, look, Carolina's become, you know, they start out 0-2, they lose McCaffrey. And your own friend, Mike Davis, there from Chicago, who the Bears signed, he looks like the reincarnation of Jonathan Stewart. I mean, he's running with power. He's everything that the Bears hope they signed, and he's become that down in Carolina. And Matt Rhule's done a really good job. Teddy Two Gloves Bridgewater has done a really good job. He's protect the football. And these young defensive players for Carolina have really stepped up and played well. Now, Carolina's secondary is not exactly the strength of their team. And I think the reason they're favored here is because I'm not sure they think the Bears can attack that weakness. So, look, Carolina has played really well 3 weeks in a row. They go out to the Chargers. They dominated that game. They beat the Chargers. They come back. You know, they win at home against an Arizona team that was playing pretty well. And then they beat Atlanta in Atlanta. And they did it in a three-dimensional way, offense, defense, and the kicking game. So I'm not surprised they're a slight favorite. I think it'll be a field goal type game. Carolina has really improved this year, and I think that they play smart, and you got to give credit to Matt Rhule.
And what is he doing, Michael? Because he's a guy who didn't have an offseason. He's making the transition from college to the NFL. He's meeting a lot of the guys for the first time when they convene for the first practice, and yet here they are winning 3 in a row, and I think they're one of the more surprising teams in the NFC.
I think Joe Brady, I mean, Matt Rhule's done an incredible job. He's building a culture. You know, he's really building a culture. The players are buying, and they play hard. They play really hard, and they like playing football. And when you watch them on tape, you can see a team that's not perfect, But boy, they, you know, they get a lot of toughness out of Davis running the football. Teddy throws the ball. DJ Moore's a big-time player. Robbie Anderson has been huge for them. He's made a ton of plays at wide receiver. And I think when you break them down, you know, they're playing really good complementary football. They're down 7-6 in that game in Atlanta. And the next thing you know, they go into halftime 20-7. They did a really good job of coming back, making sure they control the middle eight. They're playing smart, and I think he's got the players believing in them, and they're more disciplined. And he's talking about a defensive line. You know, Derek Brown, the kid they drafted from Auburn, is going to be a real challenge for the Bears to block inside. He's a good player. And Burns, who was out last week with a concussion, he got it in midway through the second quarter. He's been rushing off the edge with real good power and speed. If he plays, that'll be a problem for the Bears. So Matt's done in there. He's done exactly what he's done at Temple and at Baylor. He started with culture and start rebuilding the offensive and defensive lines.
Michael Lombardi, some good stuff there from Radio.com Sports this morning on Mullion Haw on Sports Radio 670, The Score. Haw. Hakeem Hicks, shout out. The number one story the last couple of days has been Major League Baseball. And that's been a bit of a surprise, and we have a 4-1 Bears team. And Bob Nightingale was on the station earlier today. Tony La Russa put it flat out with Anthony Heron sitting in for Lawrence. He's the number one candidate for the job. I'm hearing a lot of others, a lot of insiders cover the game. If La Russa wants the job, it's his. We can start talking about Hinch, Cora, other options after we find out about La Russa and what he's going to do. Wow. We can get all bent out of shape, all upset about that, if that's what Jerry Reinsdorf wants to do. But if you've been paying any attention to your team, if the Sox are your team, you know how Jerry Reinsdorf operates. It shouldn't be all that shocking in any way. If this is how it's going to go down, I would hope that they have these real conversations about the use of in-game analytics, because that's the reason Rick Renteria was apparently fired earlier this week or whenever they made that decision. I'm sure it was a lot earlier than on Monday morning. But if it were be La Russa, and he's the face, and he's the guy dealing with all the media, the job that most people don't even want. Who's the bench coach? That's the big question that I'm looking at. I agree. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And I wouldn't like the hire. You've advanced so much in the organization behind the scenes and with the current roster. It just feels like you're taking a step back, even though we're talking about a Hall of Fame manager. They want the experience. I get it, but don't they want somebody that understands all the analytics, that hasn't been out of the game, at least from the managing perspective, over the last 9 to 10 years? I hope it's not the guy, but I don't think it's as bad as some of us are saying. Because if you're worried about La Russa getting the job, what was your opinion of a manager before that, before arriving at this opinion? You think they matter maybe a couple games a year? Why get all stressed out about it if you think that's what it is? And you better believe he would be surrounded with people that can use the data that they would be provided with. So let's give them a chance. And maybe this story about La Russa has just been floated out because they want to see how the Sox fan base is going to react. Based on what I've seen, it has not been very positive thus far, but naturally you're not going to hear from people that would be happy about a potential hire. You're going to hear from the people where you bring out the anger. You incite them a little bit, and there's a lot of people very upset about this possibility. But I, you know, hey, would it be the worst thing in the world? I don't know. I don't know about that. Depends on the other hires that you're going to bring in and how the players would feel about that. Multiple people clearly wanted Don Cooper out. That was not a one-person decision. He was a guy that you figured would be with the White Sox organization for life. For life. For life. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score. 9 o'clock, we've got Score Rewind. But coming up next, I want to bring something back from my morning show, Bet Sweats. So, on sports betting, if you haven't checked it out, please do. And on Wednesdays, what we do is we take a look at the NFL card. and we do a segment called Dog or Pass. And we talk about some games where you're just clearly looking at the underdog and not the favorite. Did we hit on the Bears game? Maybe. Bears 2.5-point underdogs to the Panthers. That is next. Joe Ostrowski with you. 670 The Score and the Radio.com app. Joe Ostrowski here, Sports Radio 670 The Score. ALCS, NLCS in progress right now. Stephanie Epstein of Sports Illustrated just tweeted this less than a minute ago. Someone at Petco, where the ALCS is being played, is blaring from an unseen loudspeaker, "You are cheaters. Shame on you." Now he is addressing them by name. Yuli Uriel, "You are a cheater." Josh Reddick, "You are a cheater." She tweets, "He has no idea where this person is or how he is doing this." That is hilarious. Hilarious.
Wow.
It's Altuve. The guy with the yips having a game tonight. He had a home run to kick things off in the first inning. RBI double. Big game for Altuve so far. It is 2-0 Houston in the top of the fourth inning. And maybe the last game of the LCS. The Rays could advance to the World Series with a victory tonight. Joe Ostrowski here. Wanted to give you a little sample of what you might be missing if you are not subscribed to my daily radio.com sports podcast. It is called Bet Sweats from the sports betting perspective. That's how we cover things, but it's really just sports chatter. I mean, you can say you don't like sports betting talk if you're one of those people, but when you boil it down, you're really just talking about sports. And you kind of squeeze in the point spread and why you think something's going to happen or where you have mismatches. It's really just sports conversation. You don't have to be a bettor to enjoy it. But every Wednesday we do this segment called Dog or Pass. When we're looking at the NFL card of games, it is the games that stand out where there's no way you're going to lay the points with the favorite. You're either taking the underdog in the game or you're not going to bet it at all. Not official best bets or anything like that. I'll cover that a little bit tomorrow, but more in detail on Saturday morning here on Early Odds and on Bet Sweat starting tomorrow. But just earlier looks at these games where, okay, I'm going to take the underdog or I'm not betting it at all. Take a listen. This is from this morning on Bet Sweat.
These are the games that stand out to us where we're looking at the dog or we're completely passing the game. There is no way that we are going to land on the favorite. So, Ross, why not? Let's keep the Browns theme going. I'm looking at this Browns-Steelers matchup, and it is still north of a field goal over at PointsBet at 3.5. Interesting because for Cleveland, the first of back-to-back division road games. And the upcoming schedule for the Steelers is also fascinating. After this game, they've got three straight on the road at Tennessee, at Baltimore, and at Dallas. Chase Claypool, one of the big stories of the NFL after his 4-touchdown game the other day. The guy is having like a touchdown every 5 targets. It's been unreal. What this game's going to boil down to is that Steelers run D going to continue to dominate? That's it. Because if the Browns run game can be average, I really like the Browns side at +3.5. But I will tell you that if it's sitting at 3.5, I'm not going to land on the Steelers. It is Browns or nothing for me, Ross.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's one that stood out to me, Joe. I got to be honest with you. Most weeks, I have a lot of these. I have a lot of dogs or pass. This week, I don't have very many dogs or pass. I have a lot more what we did yesterday, the T's and P's, teasers and pleasers. You can always go back and listen to that on the radio.com app. You know, we podcast all of our shows, so they're available on demand. I had a bunch of teasers yesterday, not as many dog or pass. Cleveland, for sure, especially getting the 3.5. Another one that for me would be dog or pass would be the Philadelphia Eagles. With the number at 7.5, and with the Eagles kind of finding their offense, Wentz's best game of the year, really his two best games of the year back-to-back, his best game of the year. They got this receiver in Fulgham. I would not lay 7.5 with the Ravens. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it with Philly, but I wouldn't lay 7.5 with the Ravens on the road in Philly. That would be a dog or pass for me.
I'm wondering about the Ravens right now. Doesn't it feel like they're just kind of on cruise control over the last couple of games? I'm not worried about them. Like, they clearly took care of Cincinnati last week. It's been a couple of easier games for them. What was it, Washington 2 weeks ago? But it does feel like they're at the point in the season with a couple of easy opponents where they're on cruise control.
You know, it's interesting because I was on in Baltimore yesterday, Joe, on our radio.com station there. That's what they were asking. People in Baltimore, it's weird. They're a little bit like, They won 31-17 and 27-3 in actual NFL football games, and their fans are a little antsy because they didn't look as crazy good as they have normally.
here's another dog or pass. So we just dealt with the fired head coach thing with the Texans, and that's one of the reasons that Eli was all over Houston last week, and it worked out for him. Now we've got the Minnesota Vikings favored by 3 and the hook going up against Atlanta. Minnesota, a rough loss after dominating early against Seattle. What do you know? Russell Wilson has the ball in the end, and he ends up winning the ball game. They get rid of Dan Quinn. They get rid of Dimitroff, the general manager, as well. Early on, it doesn't appear that anyone's backing Atlanta, which I can certainly understand. I want to get more injury information later on in the week. Is Julio Jones going to be out there, among other players? The total has gone down a little bit, but at 3.5, it's tempting. And the Falcons qualify as a dog or pass in what should be a very high-scoring game.
I don't think so. That's not one for me.
Yeah.
And it's not one for Joe Osborne either. That's the one you disagree with him on, huh?
Yeah. Well, I just know that I'm not going to lay it with the Vikings. I'm not going to lay it in this spot. What I will be interested to look at later on in the week, and as we start to take a deeper dive into these games, like maybe the Minnesota team total, because that offense is humming. They are looking really good. Probably you're not going to see Dalvin Cook out there this week, but notable that the total has gone down. As I look at this matchup, and yeah, the Falcons didn't score a ton against the Panthers, but, man, it really has shootout written all over it.
Yeah, I'll say another one I got for you, Joe. I'll go Bengals getting the 8 Bengals. Points. Look, I don't think I'm going to bet on the Bengals. That'll be probably a teaser leg with the Colts. But I wouldn't lay more than a touchdown with the Colts right now. I wouldn't lay the 8 points with the Colts. I'd either take the points with the Bengals or pass the game.
You know, after that loss, I've just been thinking about this last couple of days. I mean, everyone is selling the Colts. It's like anyone that covers the NFL, when they're talking about Indianapolis, they are out. Philip Rivers can't play the sport anymore. With a good head coach, with a strong defense, that kind of, it's tough over a touchdown with that slow moving offense, but That's going to be interesting, because I don't hear anybody backing Indianapolis right now, and I can certainly understand why. Here's one I disagreed with Joe. Joe's backing the Rams, -3.5. Did things change that much in a week? We have San Francisco going from a field goal favorite, and now the Rams are 3.5-point favorites. It is brutal coming up. There's a chance that San Francisco loses 8 in a row. No joke. After the Rams game, they've got New England, Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans, Rams, and the Bills. This is pivotal. This is massive. What happens on Sunday night with the Niners and the Rams? And the Rams haven't played great at home. I mean, they're winning games, but their home games so far, they won by a field goal over Dallas, and they won by one score against the New York Football Giants.
They've beaten all the NFC East teams. That's it.
Eli, Niners are dog or pass. I am not laying 3 in the hook with the Rams.
Yeah, that's a stay away for me. I can see that. I'm not going to lay the 3.5 either, I don't think. So I think that's probably a dog or pass. But, you know, I don't know. That's one the Rams have been so consistent. I don't care who they've played. The Niners just lost to the Eagles and the Dolphins back to back. I think that the Rams, have they been consistent no matter who they've played? I'm not with you on that. I might lay it with the Rams. I might go the other way there.
This is crazy, but is this in week 6, is this a season on the line game for San Francisco?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In that division? Yeah, I mean, if they lose that game, and then the Rams are 5-1, and the Seahawks might be 6-0, although Seahawks have a bye this week?
Yes, Seattle does have a bye.
Yeah. So 5-0. Yeah, they're not coming back from that. They get a fourth loss. They're not coming back from that. So, yes, this is a make-or-break game for the Niners, but in reality, they're not going to be able to keep up in that division. They just don't have it this year with all those injuries. I might lay it with the Rams. I might go against you on that one. Okay. Do you think, Joe, the Bills getting 3.5 from Kansas City is a dog or pass? I don't think I'm going to lay it with the Chiefs. So I guess I would say, for me, the Bills are dog or pass.
That's probably a stay-away game. I can't wait to see how Buffalo responds on the short week after the national TV game, and you didn't know what was going to happen, if they were even going to get that game in last night. We're going to learn so much about this Buffalo squad after this game. We're going to learn about Josh Allen. Did he really make the big turn? Is he really a top 10 quarterback in this league based on how he performs now against Kansas City, going up against? Do you want to go? You want to face Kansas City? You want to face Mahomes and Reed on a short week? That'd be really tough. It's not dog or pass for me. I feel like if I pick Bills plus 3.5 and the Chiefs roll them, it wouldn't surprise anybody. Chiefs coming off the loss. And then I would just be kicking myself. What are you doing? The Chiefs were only 3.5 and you went against it. Like that, it's like one of the big rules right now. Like it was, we were talking about that Chiefs Ravens game. Pat Mahomes was a dog. He was a dog. And this is a short spread with Pat Mahomes. I wouldn't be able to forgive myself. So that is not going to be a dog or pass for me.
What about Cowboys Cardinals? It's only 2.5 right now.
Yeah.
I don't see me laying it with the Cardinals. I feel like I'd either take the Cowboys and the points or stay away.
This might be my favorite dog or pass. That's the fourth one of four that I do have written down. It's last because it's Monday Night Football. But yes, Cowboys plus 2.5 against the Cardinals. The look ahead was Dallas minus 3. Your favorite flipped. How big is the drop off from Dak Prescott to Andy Dalton? That's the big question. I'm no joke. I'm wondering right now, should the Cardinals even be favored in this game? A week ago, what was the narrative about Arizona? What happened? You lose to Detroit and Carolina in back-to-back weeks. So you dominate the Jets just like every other team in the National Football League, and all is right in the world, and now you deserve to be a favorite against the Cowboys? I'm not buying that. Cowboys are a dog or pass, too. I agree. Eli, do you have anything that we have not mentioned or that you strongly agree with?
No, maybe the Bears, but I can't get myself to do it. Probably San Francisco. I'm very close to pulling the trigger on the Niners.
I wonder about, you're a clown. I wonder about this game. I wonder about it. Going into it after Thursday Night Football, I saw myself backing Carolina here, and I wondered what the line was going to be, but now it's inside of a field goal. I wasn't quite sure that Carolina would be field goal favorites here against the Bears with a 4-1 record. But here we are. Carolina hasn't faced any tough defenses. And the Bears have a better defense. They're not elite like they were a couple of years ago. Dylan Burns thinks this is a video medium when really it's an audio medium because it's a podcast. So when we're thrown off,
we've already established is that Dylan Burns has a lot of time on his hands.
What are your thoughts on Panthers Bears? Like, you've been for the most part against the Bears. You think they're a fraud, like a lot of other people who agree with you on that one. And you love what Rule is doing with Carolina. Do you think by the end of the week you're going to have a strong side between the Panthers and Bears, or stay away?
Probably going to be a teaser leg for me. But if I didn't do that, I'd probably lay it with Carolina. I don't know. I mean,
it's
that game. Yeah, I don't like that game. I like the way Carolina's playing, but you got to give Chicago their props. That last game, even though the refs helped them out tremendously, they at least found a way to get it done.
Myself and 7-year offensive lineman in the league, Ross Tucker. This is Joe Ostrowski. Check us out on BetSweats Live, 9 to 11 a.m. on the very free very free, radio.com app. But more importantly, subscribe to the podcast and you can listen whenever you'd like. Check out the show. I think you'll enjoy what you hear, especially if you're into the NFL and especially if you ever bet on the NFL. Coming up next, Score Rewind Hour. Joe Ostrowski here, 670 The Score on the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.